I am.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
I feel I have some really personal things to share, and I'm excited to do that. First of all, I want to say again thank you to Alex and Deb and the team. We had an amazing breakfast this morning, and if you missed it, yeah, it was very good. Better than the food on the cruise. Yeah. It's good to be home. It's good to go away. It's good to come back home. And we had a great time away, great cruise, met some really nice people, and got some interesting things to share. And I'm going to share some of them this morning. But so I was over last night here just by myself. Sometimes I like to come over and just walk around and just pray and just kind of just sense what Holy Spirit is saying. And I'm sitting over there. I have my laptop and I'm on Wi-Fi. And suddenly this beeping is on my laptop. And so I'm curious, so I clicked on, and all of a sudden I'm live at the Toby Mac concert, and there's Marissa smiling, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, am I on the big screen at the Toby Mac conference? I'm trying to hide my face, and she's laughing, and so they're in the midst of the concert down at the Embassy Church in Oshawa, and when that happened, I began to feel very old, because I'm thinking, here I am by myself, thinking I'm in having some privacy and between me and the Lord, all of a sudden it's live streaming at the Toby Mac concert, and it looked pretty crazy, and it was packed. They Doug said they had a full house, so that building will handle 2,500 people for sure. So I'm sure it was packed even more than that, and they looked like they were having a great time. There's about eight from City Gate down at the concert last night. I saw Jim a bit. He looked tired, and he says, I'm too old for this. But the other guys, they looked like they were having a great time. So, yeah, it was a great time that they were having. I read a number of books on the cruise. In fact, I read 3.5 books on the cruise. And two of the books that I read, one was entitled From Small to Big. And I'm a bit of a history guy, so I was reading. I always wonder where the Roma gypsies came from. Like they're sprayed out all over the world, and they have such a bad reputation. And I always wondered, how did they get to be where they are? Because we all come from somewhere, don't we? And so this guy was majorly, this Roma gypsy guy was majorly impacted by the kindness of God. And his life was completely changed around. And so he wrote this book to share his life story and where he came from, how he came to be. And he was majorly impacted by history makers and Derek Snyder. So Derek wrote, I think it was the preface or the foreword to this book. And I'll share more on that book later on. The second book that I read was How the Irish Saved Civilization. And with my grandfather coming from Ireland, kind of tweaked my interest. Okay, that's an interesting title. And it really goes into how the Irish were so isolated that when the Roman Empire and the Greek Empire begin to crumble, they still kept Christianity alive. And I'll share a bit more on that later on. But it's amazing two books. And I read one of Gary Carter's books, and I'm halfway through his second one. Really, interesting, and it makes you, helps me understand how Gary Carter is wired. It's a good book. I'm going to recommend it to you guys. So my main passage of scripture this morning, and I'm reading out of the Passion Translation, Romans 2, verse 4. And I really like this translation. It goes like this. Do the riches of his extraordinary kindness make you take him for granted and despise him? Haven't you experienced how kind and understanding he has been to you? Don't mistake his tolerance for acceptance. Do you realize that all the wealth of his extravagant kindness is meant to melt your heart and lead you to repentance? And this particular scripture here, it sometimes gets misquoted. It sometimes is taken out of context. But it's in the book of Romans, and Paul wrote the book of Romans, and he was trying to get to the Roman church. And if you know some of his journeys, being shipwrecked and being stopped by crowds and all this, it took him a while to get to the Romans. And he said, how I long to get to you and share some of the riches of God. And so a bit of background to this scripture, he's going into some of the issues and some of the lives, things that people were into that were not good for them. And he says, do you not forget how the kindness of God led you to repentance? And I don't know about you, but, and you don't have to answer me, but what do you think of when you hear the word repentance? It conjures up some things, doesn't it? And we kind of always want to default to all the stuff that we've done, to all the sin. And repentance is part of that, but that is not the whole picture. And I want to try and give you a more balanced view this morning of that word repentance. And that word repentance is simply, the definition is simply a change of mind, a change of thought, a change of actions from something here to something here. So it's a turning away from something. And it's, if we do not share and if we do not have the revelation of the amazing, extraordinary kindness of God, it will reflect in our life. And every time we hear that word repentance, it will conjure up some things that it can produce maybe shame. It can produce things that we know we should be doing and we're not doing. And I just want to try and give you a more accurate picture of repentance and how that key word in that whole definition is change. And as Gary Carter said, sometimes change, well, he didn't say sometimes, he said always, change produces friction. It produces a thing of change of from where we are to where we know we should be. And I believe that to get us to this place, we must always have a deep understanding of God's kindness. It's God's kindness that leads us to Him. It's God's kindness that gives us grace to change. And that's what I want to share with you. During our vacation, I was imagining, looking around as I was reading, and I was reading in different places, and often we try and find a very secluded spot on the ship, and we don't always find that, but this time we found an amazing spot where I would get up, and for whatever reason, I had no alarm clock, and I was usually always awake around 6 o'clock. So I would get up, find my safe, secluded place, mark it with my towels, and then I would read and just ponder some things. And I thought, if people really had a grasp and were really confronted by the extraordinary kindness of God, they would be changing so fast. And I imagined what it would be like if the whole ship suddenly were confronted and embraced by the kindness of God, really understood what the kindness of God would be to them. And I begin to ponder this and begin to think, imagine what that would look like. And you know, there was a guy, Paul, who wrote the book of Romans. And aside from the four Gospels, Romans is such an important book to read. And Paul was a guy, you remember on the Damascus Road, where he was going around murdering Christians. He was going around dragging them out of their homes. Could you imagine what it must have been like to be on that Damascus Road and suddenly being confronted by God? And we read some of the journeys that he went on after that and how being confronted by God majorly impacted his life. I'm going to give you 3 points of Paul's life and how he was transformed from Saul into Paul. And it's all because of the amazing kindness of God that was expressed to him. And he never forgot that. He never forgot God's kindness towards him and what God pulled him from and to where. And I believe that is what drove him his whole life. And I fear that we have maybe misrepresented that word repentance to the world, and that we have not completed the spiritual transaction, that it's because of the kindness of God, because of his extraordinary kindness, because of his amazing love that was expressed. And I think we are in a season that God is calling us. And I really believe that God is calling City Gate to be a kind church, to be one that expresses the extraordinary kindness of God. And I think you're with me on that we have an amazing opportunity to have that express the kindness of God through us. And as I was pondering this, I really sensed Holy Spirit saying, I'm bringing you in this season to reforest the barren ground that is growing on the earth. Reforest the ground with the awesome, incredible kindness of God. And it's very simple, but we need to grasp that. We need to be kind people. And so I did kind of an experiment when I was on the ship. As I was walking around, I intentionally engaged people. I would intentionally sit down and not be obnoxious, but just engage. I enjoy talking to people, engaging people. And they were more than willing to engage with me. And you know what? As I expressed, and I wasn't preaching or whatever, I was just extending the kindness of God towards them in conversation. And 9 times out of 10, it always came to God. And they were very open to hearing and sharing. And I thought, wow, God, we have an amazing season that you're calling us in, an amazing season of change to express the kindness of God. And so, you know, some of the changes we're doing here. And by the way, I love the coffee bar. Michael sent some pictures when we were down in the Caribbean, and I already have some ideas for the back there, and it looks amazing. This is all part of extending the extraordinary kindness of God to the world, welcoming them in and being great at hospitality. This is all part of expressing the amazing kindness of God. So back to Paul. I believe that Paul was confronted, as I shared, by the extraordinary kindness of God. God met him on that Damascus road. And I think, and I believe that Paul thought, why would God come to me? Why would God confront me? Because he knows what I've been doing to the believers, to the Christians, and not being very nice. So I think Paul, when he was confronted by that kindness of God, he realized that God shows no partiality in extending his kindness. He shows no bias in extending his love. But God just loves. He just loves unconditionally. And Paul never forgot that. And you know, his life, can you imagine the energy of Paul, like even right up to the very end of his life, the energy that he had. Did anybody see that movie about Paul about a year ago? I saw it at the theater here. And it really helped to understand how Paul was wired and how he never forgot the deposit of God, the deposit of God of kindness in his life, and how it impacted. Acts 3:19 says this, change brings times of refreshing from the Lord. And we've come into a new season here of change at City Gate. And I believe that our lives will be refreshed as a result of embracing the change. You know, vision always brings excitement. Amen. It always brings just renewed desire to do something. And Paul's life was amazingly refreshed. And I'm just amazed at all the journeys that he went on. And you know, he wasn't on no cruise ship in those days. He was on pretty rough-looking ships that moved a lot and crashed a lot. But what drove him was the overwhelming kindness of God. And he kept wanting to share that with the church. And number three, Paul never forgot the extraordinary kindness of God. You know, he was so full of passion, so full of intensity, that he never forgot what God had done to him and how it impacted his life and changed it all around. And that's what I believe God is calling his church today. I think we need to go back and we need to revisit and we need to grasp what God did to our lives and how he came to us. And so it's good. You know, somebody often says you shouldn't look back. But you know, it's good sometimes to go back and realize where God met us on our Damascus road. And every one of us have had a Damascus road. And some of us are in situations right now. And whatever your Damascus road is, God is saying, I want to come to you. I want to express to you my unconditional kindness to you. And you know, especially reading the book, How the Irish Saved Civilization, just to give you a bit of background to that, the gods that the Irish had and worshipped, they were not very nice gods. First of all, they were ugly looking. They were nasty, and they did a lot. The Irish went through a lot of things to appease the gods. So could you imagine? And the book was mainly about St. Patrick. And all the things that some of the things that we've heard about St. Patrick's, where he chased the snakes out of Ireland. Those are all fables. But what St. Patrick did when he was confronted by God. And you know, he started out, he was captured at the age of 16. They said that he was likely from Wales, and there was Irish pirates came over and raided families to get slaves. So during the night, they came over, they captured Patrick and took him back to Ireland. And so I don't know how many years he was over there as a slave. But God came to him. And he had no, I don't even know if at that point he believed in God. But when you spend so many years on the side of a mountain tending sheep by your own at the age of 16, and I think it was, I don't know, 10 years doing that, you get lots of time, you get a lot of time to ponder life. And so God began to speak to him. And so one day he had a dream, and long story short, he escaped and went back to Wales or England. And then as he never forgot the Irish, and God began to put on his heart a burden for Ireland. And in those days, you didn't really, there weren't really missionaries in sense and in the way that we know. So he was one of the first evangelistic missionaries to go to another nation. So God called him back to Ireland, and he began to express the amazing, awesome kindness of God to the Irish people. And he began to establish monasteries and begin to raise up leaders. And to the Irish, who were a rough bunch, and they were the Celts. They were barbaric. And he began to slowly change the whole impact of the nation of Ireland. Can you imagine one individual displaying the kindness of God and expressing it through his life? And I believe today, if we could get a hold of that, you know, we talk about the love of God, the kindness of God, but if we can get a hold of God, you came to me, and I'm speaking for Matt Crummer here, you came to me and I saw your loving kindness expressed through someone. And within a couple weeks, I was born again. And that I never forgot. And ask yourself this question. Where might I be today if I was never confronted by the awesomeness, the kindness of God? I think of that. I think of where I might be. And I'm so thankful that God was expressed accurately through someone. Not in a condemning way. See, we need to allow Holy Spirit to do the work in someone's life. We need to just be carriers of His presence. And so that's why it's so important to accurately reflect the kindness of God, to be accurate. You know, depending how we were raised, if we were raised in a very legalistic home, if we were raised in possibly in a church that was full of legalism, well, then that's how we're going to reflect repentance, right? We're going to communicate repentance in a very legalistic way. And we're going to put some things on people that God is saying, I don't want you to. And we're going to recreate something that is not an accurate picture of God. So I believe God is calling you and I in this time of change to be a church that is kind and that that knows how to reflect God. We need to be great reflectors of God. And I believe this is a season to do that. You know, there is a lot of barrenness growing out in society. We see it all on the news. We see what's going on. And I believe that God is calling us to reforest the barrenness of the land. Did you realize that in Africa, this is fascinating, in Africa, there are some countries that have come together and they are reforestation, a whole band of trees to stop the Sahara Desert from growing and going south. They are reforesting the barren lands. And it's like they are stopping this, they are planting this wall and actually regaining some of the Sahara Desert. Fascinating. Because at one time, the Sahara Desert was not a desert. It was very green. And for whatever reason, and we can say climate warming, whatever, but the Sahara Desert was a lot smaller than it was. And so some of the countries have joined together, which is a miracle in itself, coming together and beginning to plant this wall across Africa. And I saw the map, and I saw this green wall, and it was fascinating to see this. I believe that is what God is calling you and I to be trees of righteousness, to be trees of kindness, to be trees of love, and then plant and allow God to plant you and I in this barrenness. Are you okay with being trees? Do you want to be a tree?
Yeah, I want to be an apple tree.
You want to be an apple tree. You know what they say about the apples from the apple tree? They don't fall too far from the tree. So that's why you got to be a good representation of God. So those apples grow into great trees. But yeah, I believe that God is calling us to be trees of righteousness, to be strong oak trees or whatever tree God is calling you to be. And I believe that if we have a deep revelation like Paul did and reflect God's righteousness, there will be a change. The other book that I read, From Small to Big, the Roma Gypsy People, I was part of thinking not positive things towards the gypsies. But when I begin to realize how it's actually in their very DNA to fail, it's actually in their very DNA to do things that they don't want to do. And it was Paul talked about that, wasn't it? I do the things that I know I shouldn't. Well, can you imagine it being wired into your very DNA, into your very identity of who you are? And the only thing that will change that is being confronted by the kindness of God. And so the story is about this one gentleman who had to go through some very just horrendous things because he was gypsy. But as God began to speak into his life, and he began to realize that was not his true identity. But God was saying, this is your true identity. This is who I'm calling you to be. His life began to change and begin to grow. And he began to impact, and he began to share, he began to plant churches, he began to move in amongst the gypsy community. And he began to realize he wasn't dumb. He began to realize that he was pretty smart. And he graduated at the top of his class and won a scholarship to university. And this all takes place in Bulgaria. And then this is where Derek in History Makers comes in. And Derek begins to share some things about History Makers and about systems and about strategies. And and how, yes, it takes prayer to change a nation, but it takes also systems. It takes righteousness. It takes strategies as well. So you need both. And this guy began to realize that his DNA is not his true DNA, and he began to realize that. And now, to this day, he is impacting not only the Gypsy community, but he is impacting Bulgaria. he has planted a very large church in the capital of Bulgaria, and they have planted out churches, and it's just beginning to multiply. And it's understanding, and this is where you and I come in, it's understanding that what we think up here is what will become out there, unless something dramatically changes. And so it always starts here, what we think. And I believe God is calling the church from being the tail to being the head. Sounds like a scripture, doesn't it? God is calling us to be the head and not the tail. And we've always had this mindset of, we'll gather inside these four walls and we'll worship God and all this. But that was never the plan of God. That was never his plan. And I realized that from being on the ship and sharing with some of these individuals. And there was two couples that we would have supper together at 5 o'clock. And they really, when we didn't show up, they really missed us. Because sometimes we would just eat upstairs in the cafeteria, and we wouldn't go for the meal. And so they would really miss us, and they wanted to know more. And they some of them were Christians. I don't believe the husband, one husband was. But we expressed the deposit of God in us to people. And I believe that is what God is calling you and I to, expressing the kindness of God to those around us. Paul never forgot that. Saint Patrick never forgot that, and his life impacted a whole nation. And as the whole Roman Empire was falling apart, here's Ireland, and they're beginning to send out monks, traveling monks, and they begin to travel to the continental Europe and all over Europe. And a lot of the universities that you see today in some of the European countries had their roots and origins in those Irish monks that established monasteries and established books and kept the books alive. Fascinating to see how that unfolded. But that's what God is calling us to be, carriers of his presence, carriers of his kindness. And I'm going to read again Romans 2:4 because I really want you to get this. Do the riches of his extraordinary kindness make you take him for granted and despise him? Haven't you experienced how kind and understanding he has been to you? And don't mistake his tolerance for acceptance. Do you realize that all the wealth of his extravagant kindness is meant to melt your heart and lead you to repentance? Or in other words, lead you to change. And I believe what God spoke to me on that cruise was, it is the season to begin to reforest the barren land that is growing in our society with trees of the kindness of God. And it starts with that one word, change. It starts with a change of thinking, a change of actions, and a change of mind. So are we up to the challenge for this? I believe we, when God speaks to us and gives us strategies, I believe he also gives us grace to perform some of those things, to begin to live out some of those things. And I'm excited. Did I enjoy my cruise? Yes, I did. Did I Want to come back? Yes. And no. In fact, this really shocked us. Some of the people on the ship were like on their third cruise, like cruise after cruise after cruise. We couldn't relate, but yes, I'm glad to be home. Glad to be recharged. And I'm excited for what God is going to have for us moving ahead, especially with our relationship with Gary Carter and Life Church International, to just see where that goes. But we need vision. We need change. If you don't have vision or change, you just settle. So I don't want to ever settle. And I don't think you do too, if you're really honest with yourself. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to call up the ministry team. And just want to share with you that, and pray with you, and join with you, that God, this is the season of change for us, Father. This is the season for us to really have a deep revelation of your extraordinary kindness and how you expressed it to us first. And Father, it's never your intention to keep that to ourselves. And Lord, I believe you called us to be family here. And family, true, healthy family is a welcoming family. So Father, help us to be welcoming people. Help us to share your kindness. Not in a condemning way where you have to get our lives in order, your life in order. But Father, to express repentance in a healthy way. And Father, to leave you to do the changing in people's lives. But Father, we just have to be carriers of your love. And we know you love us so much that you don't want us to stay in this situation, but you want to move us on. So Father, thank you for this morning. I thank you, Lord, for just an amazing morning of, as I always share, first the natural and the spiritual. First, having a great breakfast and then hearing your word, Father. I thank you that Paul is such a great example to the church and how he was met in a very impactful way on that Damascus road. And Father, you've met us on our Damascus road and you're calling us higher. And so, Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you, Father, for this amazing family. And Lord, we've only just begun. Father, we've only just begun this journey of change. And each time as we embrace you, Lord, we get a deeper revelation of who you are to us. And I thank you, Lord, that you're a kind God. You're not like some of the gods that I read about in the book on the Irish, but you're a kind God, and you express that. So thank you for this morning. Yeah, thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.